Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23, these are God's words. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So far, God's word. So as we heard last week, ending in verse 19, the apostle was praying for the Ephesian church. And he was praying that they would be filled with that they would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of God the Father, so that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, so that they would know some things. And we talked about several things that he was praying, that they would have this help from God the Holy Spirit. There are people who say, we're charismatics. We believe in doing like special spiritual magic tricks. Well, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The Holy Spirit exercises almighty power in the life of every single believer. And one of the main things that he does is help them to understand Bible doctrine. We need to understand theology. And we are not able to understand theology except for if we have the Holy Spirit. And the last thing that he said last week, that we needed this Holy Spirit help for understanding theology to know, is the power of God towards us. We say, well, I know God is powerful towards me. You know that God is powerful towards you, and that he is working in you by his almighty power? I hope that each of you know that, my dear children. Because the life that we need to live by trusting in Christ and loving him and living for him is not one that can be done in our own strength. And so we know that that God is working in us by his almighty power. And what this passage focuses on, verse 20 to 23, is how great is that power by which he is working in us. So that when he does help you understand something in the Bible, when he does help you be cheerful to do something that mommy told you to do and you hadn't wanted to do before she said it, when he does help you to be forgiving towards one of your brothers and sisters, or to humble yourself and let them look good and not be proud, when he does help you as he makes you more and more like Christ, that you would say, well, isn't God powerful? This took the almighty power of God. Or when you're discouraged about how much more room there is for you to grow. As I describe all of these ways in which that I hope God would grow you, and I remember that here I am, I'm 43, and I need to grow in all of those things. But yet I'm encouraged. Why? Because the one who is working in me is the same God of that same almighty power. So it's important for us to know the greatness of God's power towards us, that we would be humbly thankful when we see the work that he has done in us, and that we would be courageously hopeful when we see how much work there's left to be done in us. So that's the main thing here. How great is this power? It is the power, verse 20, which he worked in Christ. Okay, so Christ had this power worked in him. We're off to a good start for how great the power is. When he raised him from the dead, the resurrection of the body. Yes, Ezekiel Habibi, what? Do you think you can hold it until we're done? Okay, hold it, please. So, how great is the power? It was worked in Christ. What did he do in this power? He raised him from the dead. His soul returned from paradise. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, he said to his father. Today you will be with me in paradise, he had said to the thief. So his soul didn't go to hell, it had gone to paradise. gone to what is called Abraham's bosom. And now the souls return to the body, and the body becomes alive again. And the body is glorious. It can do things like disappear from one place and reappear in another and walk through walls. In fact, this body is so glorious that not only has the soul been returned to it in the resurrection and he comes out of the grave, but what is the second thing that you guys recognized for us that he had done by this power? And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The ascension, the going from where we are now to the third heaven of Jesus' body, is actually a greater miracle than the resurrection of Jesus' body. That Jesus could bodily go to where is the assembly of the firstborn and the angels in festal gathering and the souls, not the bodies, but the souls of the righteous made perfect. And that in that, what Paul calls the third heaven and paradise, in 2 Corinthians 12, and Paul himself says, I don't know if I was there bodily, either in the body or out of the body, I don't even know, he says. And so your faculties work, even without a body in glory, which is good, because you'll be disembodied souls there. But Jesus went there physically. He is still there physically. And the power that took his body, took him, body and soul, and seated him in glory, is the same power by which God is working in each of you who believe in him. We, when we come to pray, and I hope for the rest of the day as we think about these verses, we should be amazed at the greatness of the power that God is exercising as he works in us. And so, is not just the power by which he raised him from the dead, the power by which he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And he emphasizes where Jesus has been seated, not just in the heavenly places, but far above all principality. Okay, so we have authorities among men, different principles. The principle of the house is daddy. The principle of a school might be called the principal. Principle of a county might be called the mayor, or the... I don't know what they call other things, or a city, the mayor, the principal of a state might be the governor, principal of a nation might be the king or the emperor or the president, who's kind of a lower principal. The angels probably have principles, right? We see angels and archangels. There's different levels of authority. One of the reasons scripture says to cover our heads in worship in 1 Corinthians 11 is because in worship we enter the presence of the angels. Authority matters very much to them. So sign of authority for the sake of the angels. So there are all these authorities in all of the creation, not just on earth, but even in heaven. But it's this authority chain that leads all the way up, and every other principle has a principle above them. Not just God the Son in his divine nature, but our Redeemer, a man, sits on the throne of heaven. And every authority in heaven and on earth, angel or man, is under this resurrected man, our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where he's been seated, far above all principality and power. All these creatures of glorious power that even make humans fall down as though dead before them. The Apostle John falls down before angels. Yet Jesus, the resurrected man, is more powerful. Might and dominion and every name that is named. The one who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, yet he humbled himself to take the form of a slave and is found in appearance as a man. And he dies even the death of the cross for our sins. And now every knee bows, every tongue confesses, every angel confesses that the name of Jesus Christ is above every name. to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so he reminds us of what it means, the greatness of what it means for Jesus, that he is seated where he is seated, and all the different aspects of that. And he says the power that took Jesus from death and the grave and put him there is the power that is at work in you. We are resurrected with Christ to walk in newness of life, is what Romans chapter 6 tells us about these same things. And describes, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So we are not just being worked in by the same power, but the reason we are being worked in by the same power is because we are Jesus' body too. He has a physical body that came out of the grave. He has a physical body that sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. But he also has a mystical spiritual body that is part of who he is. Just like I've got a physical body, I'm, you know, talking with my vocal cords and my lungs and my tongue and my teeth and my mouth to you, and I'm waving my arms as I talk to you. It's my physical body. But mommy is also my body. It's not good for the man to be alone. And God made the woman out of Adam's body. And the two were one. And mommy is part of me, part of who I am. She completes me. It is, I am not full without her. That's why it's like I die. If the Lord were to take mom, the person that I was would cease to be. And those who understand these things and experience these things, how hard it is for them when their spouse passes away. That's why we rejoice so much that we are the spouse of Jesus. Now, after saying all these amazing things about Jesus in verse 21 and 22, what does he say about Jesus in verse 23? Well, the first thing is that we are his fullness. We complete him. Our resurrected Lord, who sits bodily at the right hand of majesty, is not full without us. My dear children, that would be blasphemy to talk that way about the Lord Jesus Christ if we were the ones who came up with it. Right? You would think, oh, that's some weirdo mystical thing that a Roman Catholic came up with. Although the Roman Catholics certainly don't have a corner on the market for weirdo mystical things. Are you going to tell me you need to go potty again? Okay, you can go. It sounds... If we came up with it, it would be some weirdo mystical thing. But we didn't come up with it. The Bible here says that our Redeemer finds his bride, his church, to be his fullness. That doesn't mean that you individually are his fullness. But you do have a part in that. You have a share in that, to marvel at that. And you and I should love the church as the bride, the fullness, the body of Christ. That he refuses to be thought of or considered apart from his church. And that is why it is insane and a despising of the biblical Jesus when people say, oh, I can be a Christian without the church. The Bible says Jesus can't be Jesus without the church. So if Christ is not Christ without his bride and body who are his fullness, how can we be Christians without his body and his bride, who are his fullness? If someone tried to tell me that they loved me, but they didn't have much use for Heather, I would say, you don't love me. You don't even know who I am if you think you can love me without loving my wife. And it is amazing that it is the Jesus who has been seated far above all these others of whom the scripture calls us his fullness. And verse 23 ends in a way to underline that point, because he may have taken us to be his bride, his body, his completion, his fullness. But he really is the one who fills all in all. He created them all. He upholds them all. All things are from him and through him and to him for his glory. Therefore, let us marvel at the power that works in us and the privilege that we have been given in our connection with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the truths that you have given us to hear and learn and know from your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd help my children not only to meditate on these things in the rest of the day and be amazed at the power by which you are working in each of us who believe in you and belong to you through Jesus, but that these would be things that they increase in knowledge and knowledge about and understanding of throughout their lives, that you would answer the apostles' prayer and my prayer concerning them, that they would be given your Holy Spirit to be to them a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that they might understand the hope of their calling, your inheritance in them, their inheritance in you, and the greatness of the power that is working in them, by which Jesus not only rose, but ascended and sat far above all of these principalities and powers, mights and dominions, above every name, and that you would make us to see how glorious then is your church, that you have made her his fullness, and what a marvelous thing you give to each one of us, that we might be a member of such a body, that we might be part of such a bride, who is the fullness of even our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth of this, and we confess freely that although we don't grasp it yet, what you have allowed us to know has thrilled us, and we pray that that thrill would not quickly leave our thoughts and our feelings. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and your children here say, Amen. Amen.